The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to testify to the light. And this was his testimony. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and he did not deny it, saying, "I am not the Christ." And so they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No," he said. And so they said to him, "Then who are you, so that we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" And he went on to say, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" And John answered, "I baptize with water. There is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." And this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. This past week, on the vigil of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we had a festive ceremony for the introduction of this very handsome painting commissioned just for Holy Family. And it will take its honored place in a shrine back toward the back of the church. But for the moment, it's here as a tribute not only to our devotion to the Blessed Mother, but our embrace of a Hispanic tradition which gifted this image to us, and a statement of embrace for all those belonging to the Hispanic culture who are present with us, and for those who would like to belong to us. And also, I'll take it to be a special tribute to the prophetic leadership of Cambria. It didn't happen on my watch, so we must give credit to our leader today, who has the awareness and the openness and the generosity to introduce this image as a sign of our embrace. Let me look at the scriptures with you for a few moments by way of drawing a teaching which might enrich us in our Advent journey. One or two cautions when we come to look at the scriptures. And the first is that we tend to read the scriptures from the place in which we find ourselves. And therefore, the elder person may look to the scriptures for consolation. The young person may read the scriptures for inspiration. But somehow we look for our own message, which has meaning and value to each one of us as we take up the living Word of God. The second thing that's important in interpreting the scriptures would be cautious about lifting one phrase or one line out of the Word of God and saying, "This is the meaning of the gospel." In that way, somehow we can get very confused. In chapter 10, for instance, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus speaks about the man who divorces his wife and the woman who divorces her husband. But we know he did not say that, even though he's so quoted, because in that time, in the Semitic culture, women were not allowed to divorce their husbands. Therefore, somehow, this is a homiletic teaching that the Church of Mark put in there. Keep in mind that no one phrase is inspired. It's the book which is inspired. And therefore, the inspiration and inerrancy attached to the Word of God is attached to the book, not to any particular phrase. So that somehow people lift one phrase out of the teachings of Jesus and say, this is the meaning of the teaching of Jesus. In order to understand the revelation of God in the proclamation of Jesus Christ, we have to read the corpus of his teaching, the narrative at large. So keep these things in mind when we come to reflect on the Word of God and find teaching and meaning for us. John the Baptist is still a central figure in our gospel reading today. He does not reveal God. He introduces Jesus. Jesus is the one who reveals God's presence among us. Therefore, John the Baptist is important, but he is not very important. He is merely there to introduce us to Jesus. And it's very important to look at the contrast between the proclamation of John the Baptist and the teaching of Jesus in order to grasp the fullness of Jesus' revelation. So I'd like to take a few moments to look at that, where John says, one mightier than I is coming after me. What does this mean, that somebody mightier than John the Baptist will come after him? He's merely there to introduce the great revelation of God's presence among us. In order to focus on this and to find how it somehow becomes enfleshed for us, I would like to look at the two kinds of power which are present in John the Baptist and in Jesus. The Latin word potestas means power. It means institutional power, or it means power over people. We exercise this for a long time in the church, maybe even today in some ways, with the institutional power, the power of guilt. I mean, we gave you a guilt trip for a very long time. And so that was very powerful. So this potestas is the power of binding people. It's a legal thing. It's a traditional power. It's the power of a culture. It's clear. Sometimes it's very rigid, and sometimes it's legalistic. But it's firm, and it's certain. This is it. It's black and white. Watch the proclamation of John the Baptist here. Brood of vipers, he says to the Pharisees and the publicans. Brood of vipers, he says. I invoke Our Lady of Guadalupe. He calls the publicans and the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He said, do not say that Abraham is your father, and therefore, somehow you are privileged. He said, God can raise up children from these very stones. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and any tree which does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This is hard language. And that's the proclamation of John the Baptist. However, read on, and this is what happens to the one who is certain. In chapter 10 there, or no, chapter 11 in Matthew and chapter 7 in Luke, there's a very interesting moment in the life of John the Baptist. He's in prison. He's in darkness. And he sends two messengers to Jesus, say, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? He's not sure now. It seems he's having a crisis in his faith. He was once certain, but now, in a time of darkness, he begins to question himself. And Jesus sends the messengers back. He doesn't say go back and tell him to be orthodox. He doesn't go back and tell him to look up the Ten Commandments. He said go back and tell him what you see and what you hear. Tell him what you witness. The blind are given sight. The deaf are given hearing. Lepers are cured. The word is preached to the poor. People are set free. Go back and tell John the Baptist what you have seen and what you hear. That will convince him. And he goes on to say, and blessed is the one who finds no stumbling block in me. In this new proclamation, blessed is the one who finds no stumbling block. Read that in chapter 11, Matthew, and chapter 7 there in the Gospel of Luke. Now to Jesus, exousia is a Greek word, and it's translated here. You'll find it in the King James Version of the New Testament. And it means the power you have to inspire people. The power of kindness. The power which comes from forgiveness. The power which comes from including people, from healing. The power which comes from naming people, blessing people, healing people. This is power. That's the exousia. That's the power of Jesus Christ. It's the power of embrace. It's the power which appears especially at this time of the year in our families and in our communities. The power to welcome people. The power which is exercised through life-giving activity. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. Lepers will be cured. Those who are outside will be drawn in. People will be blessed. They will be affirmed. They will be forgiven. Those who were considered not acceptable will somehow find there's a place for them at the table of the Lord. That's exousia. That's the power of Jesus Christ. And read the corpus of Jesus' teaching, and you'll find that over and over again. That somehow to be disciples of Jesus Christ is to exercise this power of exousia. It's not institutional. It's not overwhelming. It's not controlling. It sets people free. The power of Mother Teresa, she didn't have institutional power, but she had power that came from her consummate kindness, care for the poor. And the whole world was transfixed by this extraordinary power. The young woman that just got the Nobel Prize, 17 years old, the power to overcome violence with somehow the richness of being human, the courage to be powerless in the world but powerful in the spirit. That's what's revealed in Jesus Christ, the exousia. And therefore the invitation, the takeaway from this gospel reading is to each of us, claim the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Who will you forgive in the name of Jesus Christ? What humanity will you overlook in the name of Jesus Christ? Where are the publicans and the sinners, the outcasts and the prostitutes? Where are they in your life? These people that don't belong, where are they? And how do we exercise the exousia, this extraordinary power to set people free, to honor people, to embrace people just as they are? In the Zen tradition, there's a story told about the man who, at some part of his life, he had to change. And his friends told him, you have to change. And he said, I want to change, but I can't change. And then his family said, but you must change. And he said, I want to change, but I can't change. And then somebody said, I will love you the way you are. And then he changed. It's the power of exousia. Let that be the witness of our discipleship. And in that way, we will make these days holy. Amen. We have an invasion of wonder here. These are our preschool children. And they meet every Sunday here during the 9:30 Mass, and they probably give a special meaning to this time of the year. So we'd like to have them all come in so that we can celebrate with them. And as they're coming in, we'd like to say a special word of tribute and gratitude to our directors, Tracy Tobin Spain and Carrie Terrell. They're coordinators of our Sunday preschool processions and also the music. Our director is Karen DeLeon, head of the music department, and director of administration, Daniela Citello. She manages the Sunday preschool. It's a co-op, so all the parents are involved. Nobody is paid. The pay is the wonder and the beauty of belonging to these miracle people. Do we all want to be seated? Let's sit down. Are we all having a good time?
Yeah.
Hands up who's having a good time. Wonderful. Now, what is really special about Christmas that's coming up? What's the most special thing about Christmas? Jesus. This is very weird. Jesus, not Santa Claus. Did you all hear that there? Hey, let's hear it. That's a very good answer. What else is really special about Christmas? Anybody else want to tell me what's special about Christmas?
Presents.
Presents. This is very good. What else is really special about Christmas? Tell me.
Presents.
Good. Presents are very important. Come on over here. You want to say something. This is a future leader here, I can tell.
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday. Joaquin, this is very good. Okay, now, who likes to sing? Wonderful. And there's a special song we sing at this time of the year. Do we all know the name of the song? Silent Night. That's wonderful. This is marvelous. God, it's beautiful. We're going to sing Silent Night in English, and then we'll sing a verse in Spanish. So we're all ready to sing? Hands up who's ready to sing. Okay, I want to hear everybody singing now. I'm going to put this here so that everybody can hear you singing. Okay, like that. Just looking right at you. Are we ready? Are you all ready? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender. Let's give them a big hand. Okay, we'll all stand up. We'll give our children our blessing. Let's stretch forth our hands in blessing now. The blessing we give you is the blessing of a community who loves you, and the blessing of a community of parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, people who love you, who are gifted by you. How special you are to everybody here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with great kindness. And I pray that at home and here at Holy Family, you will always know how much you are loved and how much you are cherished. We give you this blessing in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, now we're going to let you go back and continue your celebration. This is a holy commotion. It's just wonderful. And it says we are alive. It says we are a growing people. This is our next generation that comes. And for years and years to come, they will remember the celebrations they have in a living church.